Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning comes from the words of Jesus in our gospel reading when he said, "Come with me to a quiet place." Listen again to two key verses from this text from Mark chapter 6. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they did not even have leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a quiet place by themselves." There was once a pastor with a very bad habit. Pastors do have bad habits. This pastor always was so busy, he never really took time to listen to what people were saying. He was in a hurry to get to something else. This habit especially plagued him when he went to make hospital calls on his members who were in the hospital. So if a person said, "I want to share with you, Pastor, about my broken leg," and the pastor, in a hurry to get on with the conversation, said, "Oh, you know, I broke my leg once too when I was skiing." And then a person said in the hospital, "I've been suffering from these terrible headaches. They haven't been able to go away." And the pastor said, "Oh, my dear, I took 2 aspirin this morning for my own headache." Till finally he went to visit a woman in the hospital who wanted to share with him the complications he'd been going through because of her ailment and because of her surgery. But due to his bad habit of always being busy and never paying attention, he looked at his clock and said, "My dear, I had much the same problem a couple of years ago. Everything went fine." Not listening carefully to what she had said, because the woman was in the hospital to give birth by cesarean section, the woman turned to her busy pastor who wasn't listening and said, "Well, tell me, Pastor, who was your obstetrician?" Busyness. I'm too busy. How often have you heard someone else said that or said the words yourself? I'm too busy. How often has busyness, sometimes self-imposed busyness, prevented us from really listening to somebody else, from really listening to God? It's been said that busyness is the disease of our time. Is busyness a badge of honor, or is it a symptom of a problem? How are you? "Oh, I'm so busy." The response sometimes almost seems to be worn like a badge of honor or self-importance. "How are you doing?" "I'm so busy." But I wonder, could this also be a symptom of a spiritual problem? Look at the apostles in Mark chapter 6, our gospel reading for today. They'd been busy preaching, healing, spreading the gospel message. Verse 31 says, they were so busy, many were coming and going, and they didn't even have leisure to eat. And what did Jesus do? He did not give them another task. Instead, he gave them an invitation. And here's his invitation. He said, "Come away with me to a quiet place." It was time to set aside everything that had absolutely filled their lives, even though those were good things. It was time to set them aside and go with Jesus to a quiet place. And once they were in that quiet place, Jesus gave them care, Jesus gave them rest, and Jesus gave them teaching. He gave them rest. They were able to set aside their to-do lists and busy schedules and the demands on their lives. He gave them care. We can almost hear Jesus saying to these dear men, "Come unto me, you who are heavy laden, burdened, busy, and I will give you rest." He gave them teaching. I wonder what he spoke to them about. The text doesn't say. He just said he taught them. may be about finding rest and finding strength in the arms of their Heavenly Father and not buying the lie that the world's burdens depended upon them. Because far too often, we, like these apostles, can be busy with many things, but we don't ask ourselves the question, what is that thing, that one thing, that's really necessary? What is that one thing in our life that really is necessary? Will we pause? Will we take a deep breath and slow down long enough to find it? I must admit, and by the way, I was warning Don earlier in the week as he saw page 2 of the sermon, this is going to be a meddling sermon today. I must concern, see, it bothered Don so much, he's leaving right now with Stephen. I must admit, I have some concerns for our young families today. And it's interesting, I wanted to share my concerns with the young families because both Don and Ewald said, our young families who need to hear this aren't here. Why? Because they're so busy. Too busy all the time. It's not healthy. Spiritually, mentally, physically, I look around and what do I see? Right down the street from where we live is a tutoring business. It's especially busy, I've been noticing, these summer days. Why? Not for children who are behind in school and need to catch up. No. The children are there to get ahead, to advance, to speed up their academic progress. No time for summer vacation. No time to be a child and play. Hurry, hurry, keep busy. Get infected with the disease that already plagues your parents. Busyness with no time to waste. And I'm concerned also, I must confess, for many of our young families here at Trinity. So if you're a young family and are here, you can listen to it. If you're not, encourage them to listen to the sermon on our webpage. Did you know you can listen to every sermon by dialing in our webpage? It's there. How many times have I tried to make a home visit on a young family or encourage participation in Sunday school or Bible class or just want to speak with them on the telephone and ask how they're doing? And I hear the same thing. We're so busy. Just too much to do. Got to run the kids to this event. Got to take them to that activity. Got to make it to this sport. Got to go to this appointment. Why? Is busy? Let me ask the question again. I told you I were meddling. I was meddling this morning. Is busy really better? What are we teaching our children? Are we trading the simple joys of childhood for responsibility, for packed calendars, for ulcers? Unless you think this busyness disease only applies to young families, let's look at our own lives. Is busyness really better? In 30 years of public ministry, I have never had a person on their deathbed look up to me holding my hand and say these words, Pastor, I wish I could have gone to one more business meeting. Pastor, I wish I could have squeezed two more things into the schedule last Saturday. What is the one thing needed? Will we take a deep breath and slow down long enough to discover it? There's another biblical story that deals with this same issue. It's in Luke chapter 10, the story of two sisters, one named Mary and one named Martha. Listen to the text from Luke 10. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary, and she sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations she had to make. So she came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister Mary has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord said, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." We see that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. This is a biblical expression which means to act like a student, to honor and respect a beloved teacher, to receive from the teacher wisdom and guidance. Now, Mary had made Jesus' chair a pulpit. She had made her place at his feet a church pew, and she made her home a church sanctuary. But Sister Martha was too busy. Verse 40 says, she was distracted by many things. She decided she had to clean the house, prepare the meal, get everything ready, because Jesus was coming to her house. It wasn't just the pastor coming to your house for supper, Ilsa. It was Jesus coming. Now, none of these things she was doing were bad things. They weren't bad. But the point was, they got in the way of her sitting at Jesus' feet. And beyond that, she was upset that Sister Mary had set aside the busyness and wouldn't help her with the work so she could have quiet time with her Lord. What about you and me today? And even as I'm speaking these words are going from my mouth to my ear to my heart, not just to yours. I told you we were meddling. Ask yourself today, and here's the question of the sermon. Ask yourself today, what are the things in your life that are getting in the way of you and maybe even your family of being at Jesus' feet? Let me ask the question again. What are the things in your life or the life of your family that are getting in the way of you being at Jesus' feet? I read a newspaper cartoon once. It was called The Small Society. And this cartoon aims its humor at poking fun of our modern lives. And one cartoon depicted a father and a son conversation. The teenage son was slouched down into the lazy boy chair, looking very dejected. And the father said to him these words, "Of course, my boy, we all want to have a purpose in life. But I promise you, when you grow up after a while, you'll be so busy working and making a living, you won't even have time to think about having a purpose." My dear friends, today's message is a call to join the apostles, to join Mary, and accept Jesus' offer to you to come away with him to a quiet place, so he can take care of you. Will your quiet place be a personal or family time of prayer or Bible reading or a reading from a devotional? A devotional like just happened to have one. Portals of Prayer. Did you know we have these handy devotionals with prayer, scripture, and devotional thought on the back table by the opening of the church doors, and also on the table right in the final pew back there? There's those for you to take. Every 3 months, we get a new one. With these nice devotional books, you can take time to have your quiet time with your Lord. And this morning, I warned her ahead of time so I wouldn't terribly embarrass her. I need to publicly thank my wife, Beverly, for slowing me down in the mornings by reading to me from this devotional, Portals in Prayer. And every night, before I get my smooch, before it's time for sleep, Beverly will read chapters from the Holy Bible aloud as well. In January, we started in Genesis, and now in July, we're finishing the book of Proverbs. What a wonderful time to begin and end the day together at Jesus' feet. Your quiet place could also be faithful and consistent attendance in worship and in Bible class. What a wonderful place to come, to sit at Jesus' feet so he can speak to your heart and give you the needs that you really need to be filled. My prayer for each of you is that Sunday in the house of the Lord would not just be one of many options you could choose for a Sunday's use of time, but it would be the number one priority for you and for your family. Remember, the word Sabbath day in Hebrew means rest. Maybe your quiet place and quiet time is a personal time of prayer and intimacy alone with God, where God can speak to your heart. Maybe that's in your home. Maybe it's in a special place, away from the telephone, away from the computer screen, away from the television. If you want to find me quite often, you'll find me in my quiet place. It's on a bench on the South Dyke Trail at the end of Two Road Pier, fourth bench from the right, where I have my quiet time. Now, you know, it's very possible to combine all of these things, family devotions, time in worship, and personal time with God. More than one quiet time with Jesus is fine. And don't you ever listen to the lies of the devil as he whispers those tempting words in your ears. The words that so many people have bought hook, line, and sinker today. They sound like this: but you don't have time to have a quiet time with Jesus. When we join Sister Mary and the Apostle at Jesus' feet in that quiet place, we discover that one thing that's needed. Jesus said to Martha, "You're busy with many things, but only one thing is needed." What is that one thing? It's the one thing Jesus gave to his apostles in the gospel reading from Mark, as we can hear him so clearly saying to those men, "Boys, I love you. And I know you're tired and worn out. Come with me to a quiet place and let me take care of you for a while." It's the one thing that Mary had that Martha missed. Martha's motto in life was, "Don't just sit there, do something." But Jesus' invitation was just the opposite when he said to her, "Don't just keep doing something, sit here." It's the one thing you can't live without as you learn that busy is not better. It's the one thing, the only thing, that can take you from the terrible busyness of this life to the timelessness of eternity. What is it? It's the true rest that is only found in Jesus Christ our Lord. When you do a Bible search of this concept of a true rest in our Lord, you find that it has four aspects. And I must confess, if you're following your sermon outline, I ran out of room on the outline to list the four. But these are worth noting, so I would encourage you today to flip the outline over, grab a pencil in the pew or a pen from your purse, and take note of these four aspects of rest that God wants you to have. If you want to write those on the sermon outline on the back, you can do that at this time. This is the one thing needed. Here it is. God's rest is made of four things, according to Holy Scripture. Number one, being in God's presence gives us rest. I say it again. Being in the presence of God gives us rest. Jesus is Almighty God in human flesh who has come to be present with us. And he is present with us through his word. He is present with us through his holy communion. He is present with us when we meet him in prayer, that he can give us rest for our souls. I see some of you coming to the communion rail. I've been in your homes. I know the things of this life that are causing you despair, zapping you of your strength. Come, Jesus says. Come, all you who are heavy, burdened, and weary, and I will give you rest. When we are in the presence of God, we have rest. Number two, God's rest brings peace from our enemies. All week long, you have that liar, the devil harping at you. Hurry up. Try harder. It all depends on you. In Jesus' name, we can tell the liar to shut up. Jesus is the answer to our number one enemy, the liar, the devil. Jesus' presence can shut the mouth of his lies so that you can rest in him. Thirdly, God's rest means the burden of our sin has been taken away. Jesus' death on the cross for your sins and for mine has lifted the burden of sin from your heart and from your shoulders. You need not bear the shame and guilt any longer. He has taken away. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He has taken your burden away. In him find rest. Fourth and last, God's rest is finally the rest of eternal life in heaven. Jesus' resurrection from death has opened wide heaven's doors to all who put their faith in him. So again, what is it that we really need? We need the true rest that's found in Christ. True rest is four things. Being in God's presence gives us rest. God's rest brings peace from our enemies. God's rest means the burden of our sin is taken away. God's rest finally means the gift of heaven. There's a famous hymn writer, and maybe you weren't listening carefully as you came in earlier, but Richard was playing a number of her hymns on our sound system. Her name is Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns and gospel songs. She wrote hymns like these. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And also, to God be the glory, great things he has done. I could go on and on, but I don't want to spoil your lunch with my voice. What's amazing is that Fanny Crosby wrote these 8,000 gospel hymns and songs, though she lived her entire life blind. And one well-meaning pastor once said to her, Fanny, I think it's a great pity that God did not give you the gift of sight when he showered you with so many other gifts and abilities. And she said, you know, Pastor, if I had one wish at birth, it would be that I was born blind. Why? He said. And here's what she said, and I quote, two reasons. Since my earthly eyes don't work, they can't be distracted by those things that keep other people so busy. I have a holy blindness that helps me only focus on what's really important in life. And secondly, she said, when I get to heaven, the first sight that shall ever gladden my eyes will be the glorious face of my Savior Jesus. Dear Lord, today we ask you to blind our eyes, to blind our loved ones' eyes of the things in this world that really aren't so important. And help each of us on a regular basis to join Mary sitting at your feet and go with the apostles as they accept your invitation, Lord, to come away with me to a quiet place. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.